This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I am wonderful. It's a good day to be a Texan and a good day to be alive.
Yes, it is. We obviously got a big thing going on tomorrow, the huge game and all the excitement around that.
You know, all the Fox people, they are already in Houston. You know, they're down on the field. They don't know that it's cold in Texas. They learned the hard way.
Yeah, they all came down from New York thinking, my goodness, we're going to go down into the desert, into the south, and it's going to be tropical. No.
That's right. They obviously didn't read our weather reports this week, or they would have known it was going to be cold. But, you know, I think it's wonderful for Houston, you know, and for a Texas city to get this honor, and just think of what it will do for their economy. Their economy, every restaurant will be full. Every restaurant is going to make $1 jillion. The car rental companies, the limousine companies, the hotels, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I love commerce. You know, I'm a person who loves to see people make money in their town. And I think it's just wonderful.
Last week we were talking to one of our consultants who lives in Houston, and I was asking him about how much money gets pumped into the economy when something like this happens. And he said this week he read that the city of Houston was going to have about $3 billion every day pumped into their economy.
Oh, my gosh. See, I thought it was $1 billion total. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was $3 billion a day. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's a lot.
I'll bet they're selling a lot of those handbags that go for about $3,000.
Oh, yeah. Handbags and trinkets.
Trinkets, yes, and lots of glitz and sparkle. I mean, this is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
And I imagine there's a lot of big parties being hosted by, you know, all the really jet-setters down there. And so I mean, people will have a great time. And Houston has got some fabulous restaurants. I don't know how much you know about Houston, but, you know, it's always been an oil town. It's, you know, big oil companies are there. I'm sure they're sponsoring things. All kinds of corporations, you know, are sponsoring people, showing them how much they are glad to have them.
Yeah.
And I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. What is this, the second time it was in Houston?
No, it's the third time. Everybody thought it was second, but they've said, no, it's really the third time, and I don't remember it, of course.
Yeah,
I'm just too young, don't remember.
Well played.
Only I would think that.
Oh, that's great.
Woo! Oh, mercy. Well, anyway, let's give out the phone number.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, it's 877 588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, where you can go and find case studies, data from past investments, testimonials, and all kinds of information about how you can grow your money and retire early and retire safely and comfortably and well.
And happy.
And happy.
Yeah, because if you've got all the other, you're going to be happy.
Well, that is
if you've
true.
You've got your money, have invested it well, made money, you'll retire early and happy and have a good life. You know, people are living a lot longer, and I'm thinking that, you know, the average person that we deal with is going to live 25 years.
Sure.
You know, if you take care of yourself. And, you know, I guess the answer is not ever eat sugar.
Well, yeah, they say that's not good for you.
It's very bad for us, and people shouldn't eat a lot of sugar. But I'm thinking that the best way to do it, of course, is, you know, not have it all in the stock market. You know, this week the stock market had been up, but you saw how quickly it dropped.
Oh, yeah.
When that sucker starts dropping, you're losing money. And to me, it's kind of scary because right now everything's a little bit volatile. We have a new president. I'm thankful for the new president. But, you know, we've got riots everywhere and all this, you know, undercurrents. Until everything settles down, the market's going to be just volatile, up and down and up and down. The oil, you know, in Saudi and all these places, Kuwait and all these places over there, they're not talking about that right now. But, you know, a lot of this stuff foreign can really affect the oil prices.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, oil is about $53 this week, which is a blessing. I'm waiting for it to get to 70.
When do you think that's going to happen?
I keep thinking that by August or September, maybe it will be at 70 because the president has reduced a lot of regulations yesterday that will help oil companies a lot. It will help energy companies, and that's what he needs. If he can get all these regulations out, you know, we've talked about this briefly once, about all these little varmints that the Environmental Protection Agency said, oh, you can't drill here. There's this little critter on the ground, you know, like a little lizard. And if that little lizard's there, you know, it'll ruin you.
Yeah.
It will absolutely ruin you. And so I think if they can get all those regulations out, the oil companies will do good, and it's going to bring prosperity to America. I really think that. And, you know, a lot of the small companies said there were so many regulations they couldn't expand. They couldn't hardly stay in business. And I know this week they have cut out a lot of the regulations on small business. So this is going to help us here in Texas also. Because, you know, we have so many businesses owned by individuals here. You know, everybody believes in owning their own business, you know, trying to make it. And with these regulations cut, I believe they will be very successful. I think it's the best thing that could have happened to us.
And it seems like, and I can't remember the details, or maybe I dreamed this, but it seems like I read an article earlier in the week about how, you'll probably have to correct me here, but something to the effect of we'll be able to export more oil than three countries combined, or something like that.
Huh, and I didn't see that, but I did see yesterday, another regulation they're cutting where that if you do business with a government in another place or even here, you don't have to go tell the government.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is going to be good. And every time you make a move, you don't say, oh, I have to go tell the government I'm doing a deal with you. I mean, a lot of things is private and individual owner. You shouldn't have to go tell the government every time you make a move.
Wow. That's cool.
Yes. And they're also looking at regulations for investment companies. They said that some of the regulations that they have right now in place, it gives the opposition in foreign countries all the information about you.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they can best you on bidding, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that from now on, a lot of these regulations will be killed, we'll have more freedom, businesses can act and do what they do best, go out and make money.
Exactly. So this might be a good time to start making money and start, you know, growing so that people can do what they want to do and live comfortably.
I agree. And this week we've had another maturity. The guy's name is Robinson. For all the clients that were in that policy, Robinson came in early. It was an 18-month policy. He had colon cancer. And here it is. It came in 5 months early. We did it last August.
5 months early?
Yes, it came in this week.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm always telling people, you know, these 18 to 24-month policies, I like them because they're just as real as they can be. But when people have colon cancer, it's the deadliest form of cancer.
Yeah.
It really is. And a lot of people think they're going to survive it, and most of them do not.
Yeah.
And it was also in the lymph nodes, and that's, you know, we've talked about that before. That's one of the first things I look at, to see how much weight they've lost. If it is in their lymph nodes, if it is, I figure, you know, they're not going to make it. Now, if it's not in the lymph nodes, they may make it. But if it's in 15 lymph nodes, I'm going to count that person out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to think that they're going to make it. But anyway, the best thing a client can do, if they want to be diversified, is come and talk to us, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know if they'll like us, if they'll like the investment, but they can come and see, you know, for themselves. There's risk. We always talk about that on Saturday morning. The biggest risk is it could go over. This person, if we'd said it was 18 months, might live 24, might live 32. You have to always be prepared. But if you're diversified and one of them goes over, it won't hurt you.
Sure. And you're not reliant on the stock market, too. Totally, completely separate when you invest in life insurance policies as to what's going on Wall Street.
That's exactly right. You don't have the tense moments where when it drops, you know, 100 points, you're not there. And you don't have to put up with that. And, you know, when you're in the stock market and it drops, there's not anything you can do about it. It's, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, you have to sit and wait.
Yeah, and you have to get up at midnight every night. And everybody I know that's in the stock market gets up at midnight and checks their portfolio because they're worried. They're scared.
Yeah.
Why be scared? Just relax. You know, a life insurance policy that we buy cannot go down. You know, the value's not going to go down. They're going to pay the face amount. So that takes that risk out. The other risk is if a life insurance company ever went broke, you know. If it went broke, you would have to wait for your money. Usually another company buys a life insurance company within 3 months. But you might have to wait. And the other thing is, always do it like we do it, escrowed through banks. Don't do it with a company that doesn't escrow far away from themselves. You know, we don't take checks to us. Nobody makes out a check to us. All money goes to the bank. The bank is the escrow agent. And that protects our clients from me or anybody else. Nobody can get to their money. And that is a good protection.
And I know we talk about these risks, and even though you just ran down them, it doesn't seem like they're the kind of risks that could be absolutely devastating and wipe somebody out. There may be some delays, maybe some fees, things like that, but the stock market, if things go wrong, it can wipe people out. When investing in life insurance policies, yeah, there's risks. There could be a few inconveniences, but it doesn't sound like anything that's devastating.
I don't think it would be. I think as long as you've got it through a bank, you know, you're safe. It should always be through a bank. Our banks make the premium payments. They make sure the premiums are paid. The money is escrowed. I know companies that did not escrow money, and that's how you get in trouble if you have not escrowed for the entire time. You know, we escrow. If it's 24 months, we've escrowed for that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 15 months, we've escrowed. Doesn't matter. And then the bank pays the premium. It's verified that the premiums went out. And then when they die, when they pass away, the bank is the escrow agent. They send in the certified death certificate, and they get you your money.
Everything is done. It's nice and neat, and it's all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
That's right. And we have a whole slew of lawyers that work for us that make sure our contracts are right. They make sure that they're SEC, you know, compliance. They make sure that we don't do anything that's not above board. Everything we do is checked and verified, and we pay a lot of fees for this. But it keeps us out of trouble, keeps us on the straight and narrow where we need to be.
Now, there's another company that we talk about, Magna, and they do a lot of bidding on policies, especially at the first part of the year. What are some of the differences between American Financial and like a company like Magna?
Well, Magna is a hedge fund, and they've got millions and millions of dollars. And they raise all this money in January, and then they put it out January and February, and they will outbid us on anything we're bidding on. But we have this week. We bought $6 million in policies. We're bidding on another $14 million. In fact, we turned a policy down this week and Magna bid it. The people are in remission.
Why? You know, why would they
do
that?
They're in remission. They don't even have cancer right now. And Magna went in and bid that policy because it's not their money. You know, when it's not your money, you'll take risk because it doesn't matter. But ours, it's our clients' money. And this is their hard-earned money, so we're a lot more careful. And we're not going to bid something that's in remission because it might take 2 years, you know, for that cancer to come back. It might even take three. So we want to be really careful with that.
And when you say
and
that
if
it's...
They're in, if they're in clinical trials, I don't want them.
Mm.
Yeah. If they're in some fancy clinical trial, it'll delay their death probably 8 months. It won't cure them, but it'll make them feel better. And sometimes I guess that's worth a lot, just, you know, there. But people who have cancer that need to sell their policies, you know, we can also handle that. If they need to sell their policy, we go through a licensed provider, and you know, that's where all of our policies come from, is licensed providers. And they are licensed by every state. Most of them are licensed in every state. And so they can sell a policy, you know, in any of those states. And the life insurance agents are the ones that bring them the policies, usually. Sometimes it's just the owner of the policy. But lots of times the people go to their insurance broker and say, I have cancer, I need some cash, can you help me? And they will help them. They'll contact our brokers and go through them, and we end up with the policy if we, you know, if our bid is good enough.
Yeah. So, one thing that's worth pointing out is that, you know, you're talking about the difference between what you do and something like Magna. You actually invest your own personal money as an investor in some of these policies. It's almost like night and day.
Sometimes we do. And then usually that doesn't last long because somebody will need it and I'll take my money back out and give it to somebody else. Because we have so many clients that need policies. You know, it's just an amazing thing. As I said, you know, we have a lot of money on hand and we're putting it out just as fast as we can right now. So these people all need these policies. But when I get a chance, yes, I do put some money in a policy. And I wish I had all my money in policies because, yeah. I mean, all these are coming due early. I sure would like to have a piece of that.
Yeah, really?
Naturally. Yeah, I mean, it would be a good thing. You know, I wish I'd been in Lombardi. Lombardi's the one that came due at the end of the year. And we don't have the money in the bank yet. But my gosh, they made 25% and 27%.
That's amazing.
Yeah, in 6 months. I would have loved to have been in that.
Wow.
Yes.
This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, and the phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And that's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And you can always go to the website, which is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find all kinds of information. You can read up about testimonials. And there's also links where you can listen to past archived shows. So you can go back and listen to different things that we've talked about on Saturday morning. One of the things I don't think we've talked about in a while is some of the things that you look for when you start looking at policies. I know you were mentioning colon cancer a few minutes ago. What are some of the other things that you look at when you get a policy on your desk and you decide, okay, we're going to bid on this or we're not?
Well, of course, I want to make sure that it's either stage 3 or 4. There's some kind of cancers that only go to stage 3, but the others all go to stage 4, so we want to be sure that that it's stage 4 in almost every case. If it's not stage 4, it may be a long time before they pass away. So if you've got stage 4, you know it's not going to be a long time. You know it's going to be short. Then you've got to look and see how much weight they've lost. If they've lost 50 pounds or 17 pounds, you know they're pretty sick. And then I look to see what they have them on. What kind of pain medicine, you know, do they have them on? And if they've got them on the hard stuff, you know that they're really in pain and they've got a problem. And then you look to see if it says they've got, let's say, colon cancer. That'll kill them without anything else. But sometimes it'll say it's in the skeleton, it's in the bone, it's in their lungs. If it's all those places, you know, it's going to be a very short time. And then on women, I talk about this all the time. I'm always shocked. Women will refuse chemo. They'll refuse radiation. Sometimes they refuse surgery. And it's just going to make their life very short. And the one I was reading this week, you know, they were trying to get her to do radiation. No, she didn't want to do that. And they hadn't heard from her in 6 months after they'd already diagnosed it, told her it was stage four, and that this is what she needed to do. She needed, you know, a complete mastectomy. You know, and of course she didn't want to do that because she had implants. She wanted to save them. My gosh, this, how could implants be important at a time like that?
Yeah.
See, I don't understand it. And the ones we get on women on breast cancer, it's unbelievable. And they said, well, they didn't know, but they had not seen her for treatment for 6 months.
Wow.
And she had refused to have a complete mastectomy, which is what she needed. And then we bid on one this week that had it in both breasts, is also around the incision. And it was in the lymph nodes. You know, that lady doesn't have long. And it's just, it's always imaginative to me that people wouldn't do what the doctors are telling them they might could do to live longer. They may not survive, but they would live a little longer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Excuse me. Well, I know sometimes, you know, people look at it as though, well, you know, I'm kind of getting towards the end of things. Maybe, you know, the cure is worse than the actual cancer itself. I mean, it just seems like that's sometimes one of the things that people say. And I'm sure that's some of the things that you look for is attitude.
Well, and if they're 55 to 59 years old, it's crazy, you know. I mean, their husband would appreciate them being around longer.
Yeah.
You know, their children. But no, they just go off and do all these. And, you know, we had that lady 2 weeks ago that told them that she just needed more vitamin C. And I'm going, this is just out. You know, I wanted to hit my head against the wall. I go, this lady is so far out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't understand it. But anyway, yes, those are the things we look for. Is it in the lymph nodes? Have they lost a lot of weight? Are they on a lot of pain medication? And, you know, is it in different places?
Now, what about oral cancer?
Skeleton or the bone, yes, I want the bone.
I know we had talked a little bit towards the end of last year, and oral cancer was one of these ones that were starting to take a little bit more notice. Maybe these are more a little bit more serious than what people had originally thought. Maybe they're a little bit more aggressive. As you've been monitoring that over the last month or 6 months or 6 weeks, what are you thinking more along those lines, or are you kind of
pulling back?
Well,
I can tell you that they are serious. We didn't used to ever see tongue cancer or throat cancer, tonsil cancer, never, and including tongue. And now we are seeing those types of cancers, and they are deadly. I never would have thought that they would be this deadly and quick. They are very deadly. And when people get those, you know, they need to be at the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the smoking caused it. You know, I don't really know. But I know that they do not live long. We bought some, and we've already had some of those mature. So, you know how serious it was.
Let's talk about page 14 for a second.
It's 14. This is the page that tells them everything about the policy, and they must sign off on that before they do anything else. So when we get down to page 14, we email them page 14. It tells them who the person is on the policy, what kind of cancer they've got, how old they are. It tells them what life insurance company has the paper, and it tells them what the rating of the life insurance company is. And then it tells them how much they invested, what their return is, how much we've escrowed for premium. And then it tells them if it goes over, what they have to pay. And so, you know, we always give them that information.
It's a complete snapshot of the policyholder and the situation that they're in, because you want everybody who invests to know everything about what they're investing in, because it's their money.
That's right. And we want them to know everything. And then we want them to have a record of what we've told them, where that if they forget, they can go back and look it up and say, yes, that's what Faye told us. So there's never a misunderstanding. They know what I told them, and they know how it's going to work. Almost everybody comes from a recommendation from a brother, a sister, you know, somebody. And this goes on all the time.
And that really speaks volumes, because it's one thing to, you know, have an experience with somebody. It's another thing to have such a great experience with somebody that people go tell their friends. And these are people that they trust, and they, you know, whether they're family members or coworkers or neighbors, whatever it is, those are not the types of people that people are going to make things up about and for.
Well, and I think I might have mentioned this last week. Claudia said that this gentleman called and said, you know, you don't have me in a new policy right now. Why? And she said, well, you know, we're getting it done as quick as possible. And he said, well, my friend, and named him, he's across the hall, he's already in a policy. So sometimes I don't know that their friend, I know who their friend is, I don't know he's across the hall, you know. So it is pretty funny. Lots of times they're right there, across the hall from them, and I didn't know it. But we have several that way that we found out that they office in the same hallway.
And they didn't mention it when they came in.
No, they didn't mention it, so we did not know. So, yeah, that's pretty good, and I love it. But, you know, we this last year, you know, it was $27 million that matured. We've already had five mature in the last 2 weeks. So I think it's going to be a fabulous year. I think people are going to have a lot of maturities, and I think I'm going to make money. I think they're going to make a lot more.
You know? You're really off to an early start, because things don't really normally start kicking in until February-ish?
Yes. Once we get past Magna and them outbidding us on a lot of policies, but we're doing okay. You know, we've got our share of policies for January, which is fabulous, more than usual. And we've got $14 million that we're bidding on right now.
And you said you've got, did you say you got $6 million?
Yes, we bought $6 million this week. All the paperwork's being done, signatures, transfer. They have to transfer ownership over, and they're doing that. And, you know, we'll be ready to go.
And so when will those be available to invest in?
Probably a week. It'll probably be another week. Some of them might even be 2 weeks. But we've got them bought. We're just getting all the signed paperwork now.
So this is really the time where people should start getting things together, calling to make an appointment to come see you, and start, you know, getting involved and learning about some of these policies.
That's right. And they need to be looking at what they have, see if they're where they want to be, you know, profit-wise. What they have that they can really rely on. You know, how much of their money is hard, you know, as I say, or how much of it is at risk?
Mm-hmm.
And it depends how much risk you can stand. And I've asked that of a few people, and they said none. Yeah, I'm sitting there saying, how much risk can you stand? They said none.
And then what do you say?
Oh, my gosh. I said, well, okay. And last week, the sister and brother of one of my large clients was in, and we were talking to him, and I said, well, would y'all like to go home and think this over? Well, they'd been there the week before. And they said, no, we're tired talking. We want to do it.
No more talk. It's time for action.
That's what they said. And they said, our brother sent us a note for you where he'd made it $40,000 in January.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so they wanted to get it done and get some money made themselves.
Yeah, I would say so.
And I can't blame them about that. That sounds good.
Wow. So if somebody is thinking about getting started, what's the number that they need to call?
They need to call 877-588-3330. And they could also, I want them to go to that website. Look up what people made in this last year. Look at how long the policies were kept, what they made, how many months it took. You know, I mean, I think it's really great for the year. It shows what we did.
Yeah, and it's great that all this information is available for people to just access on their own.
That's right. Well, we do that where people will know what we've done. We don't want to just tell them. We want to show them. Mm-hmm. Here's what we did in 2016.
Yeah. Okay? These are hardcore numbers. You're not just spinning data to make it fit whatever you need to. This is real.
No, I don't just make some up. Oh, my gosh. It's got everybody's initials. When you look, you can see, you know, what we did. Okay. Doesn't tell who they are, but a lot of people can guess.
That's fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and I have no doubt that today you're going to share some fascinating information.
Well, it's I don't know if you know this person, if you remember the story. Depends how old we both are, right?
Yeah.
Ernest Tubb.
Oh, yeah.
You remember him?
I do.
Okay. Ernest Tubb, a small-town boy, was born on a cotton farm near Crisp, Texas. That's in Ellis County, right next to Dallas. His father was a sharecropper, so he spent his youth working on farms throughout the state. And, of course, as a little kid, Jimmy Rogers was his hero.
Yeah.
And he learned to sing, to yodel, play the guitar. And at 19, he took a job as a singer in San Angelo and then in San Antonio. And the pay was so low, he had to dig ditches for the Works Progress Program and clerk at a drugstore. And that's how, you know, poor he was.
Wow.
So that in 1939, he moved to San Angelo. And he was hired to do a 15-minute afternoon show. Can you remember if you only had 15 minutes on your show?
Boy, that would just fly by in a hurry.
It would. And then he drove a beer delivery truck to support himself. And during World War II, he wrote a song and recorded it called Beautiful San Angelo. And then in 1936, he contacted Jimmy Rogers' widow. And he said, can I get an autographed photo? Well, she became friends with him, and she got him a recording contract with RCA.
Really?
His first two records weren't any good. Then he had a tonsillectomy in 39. And it affected his singing. So he said, well, I've just got to start writing songs. 1940, he switched to Decca. And he said, I'm going to try to sing again. And his sixth song was Walking the Floor Over You.
Really?
That's what made him famous. It sold 1 million copies. And he got a gold disc in 65.
Wow, and that was after his tonsillectomy.
After the tonsillectomy.
Wow.
He joined the Grand Ole Opry in 1943, and he put together his band, the Texas Troubadours. And everybody says they were the best band, the best country band in the country.
Yeah.
And he was on the Grand Ole Opry for 40 years.
Was he really?
Yeah. And he went to Carnegie Hall and headlined the Grand Ole Opry in Carnegie Hall in 1947.
Wow.
Can you believe this?
Carnegie Hall is a big deal, especially back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you could get to Carnegie Hall, you were somebody.
Yeah, I don't think they had Madison Square Garden or anything like that.
Well, and then he had Owen Bradley as his producer. And Bradley played piano on his recordings from the 50s. But he wanted him to sound like Moon Mulligan. Do you remember Moon Mulligan?
I do not.
The honky-tonk piano great? Well, Bradley was classically trained. He just couldn't quite do it. So he would call him half as good as Moon. And in 1949, he got with Andrew Sisters, and they wanted to become country singers. Well, you know, he's a real tall guy, and they were real short. So he had to get boxes and put them on boxes on either side to even record anything with him. But you know what? They did a song together, and it was so successful. Those girls got paid, they said, on 750,000 records.
Wow.
And they were never sold above the Mason-Dixon line, which is amazing.
Really?
And then he recorded The Blue Tail Fly, Jimmy Crack Corn. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
Okay, do you know who recorded it with him?
No.
Burl Ives.
Did he really?
Burl Ives was on that with him, and I remembered Burl Ives singing it. But then the funny part about this, everybody said he never possessed a really good voice. He always sang flat, and I didn't realize that. And he told an interviewer that 95% of the men in Barnes would hear him sing and said, "Hey, I can sing better than that." And he said they probably can. And then he recorded, "You don't have to be a baby to cry in 49. And he was trying to hit a low note. And Red Foley, if you remember Red Foley, how good he was,
yeah,
was sitting in the booth, and somebody said, "I wish you could hit that low note." And Foley said, "I bet Ernest wishes he could hit the note."
Wow, what a great story.
Yeah, and then in 57, he walked into the National Life Building's lobby there in Nashville, and he fired a 357 Magnum. He was going to shoot movie producer Jim Denny.
What? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. He was mad at him. He shot the wrong man but didn't hit anybody. They arrested him for public drunkenness. Oh, my gosh. And, of course, you know, he also hosted the Ernest Tubb Show. And it ran for, you know, quite a long time. And he also put in a record store in Nashville, and it's still in business today.
Yeah, it's right down there on Lower Broadway.
See there? And the other song that he made famous, and still famous today, was Waltz Across Texas.
Oh.
And I'll never forget that one. That was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
And his nephew wrote that, Quanta Talmadge.
Really?
And that is one of his most requested songs, and he used in dance halls across Texas during every waltz lesson.
Wow.
That's how famous it was. And, of course, he recorded with Loretta Lynn. You know, he recorded with a lot of people. But it's an amazing story, 1914 to 1984. And he was really a pioneer of country music.
Yeah, he's really one of the old school staples.
He was. He was old school. He also recorded, I don't know if you remember it, Blue Christmas.
Did he really?
He recorded Blue Christmas. And that was his 1950 version of it.
I don't remember his version.
Yeah.
Of course, really, when it comes to Blue Christmas, the only one I can remember is Elvis. So.
That's right. They said he also helped Elvis get started. And I guess he helped a lot of people.
He helped Elvis?
That's what his biography says.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just funny how he came along, and everybody said he sang flat, but everybody loved him. And I don't remember him singing flat.
I don't remember that either.
I mean, but they said, yeah, he did, and I don't know. But I thought it was a good story, you know, that he lasted that long and was so great. They said that his band was one of the best there was.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was a pretty good story. Down here at Crisp, Texas, Ernest Tubb.
Love Ernest Tubb. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I did too. I loved him. I used to have a lot of his old records, and I never missed playing them. He's one of the few that I would never get tired of, I can tell you.
You had him back when they were on vinyl.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, no, I've just dated you now.
That's right. That tells you how old you have to be to you know, been back that time.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, bring that up, be sure. Talk about it.
Oh, that's great. This is your wedding. Do I?
Everybody watched the Grand Ole Opry, you know, for years.
Oh, yeah, and then they would gather around the radio before that and literally gather around the radio like they gather around the TV.
Yeah, and see, I don't even remember that part. Now, I'm not that old.
No. No.
When television, you know, got going real good, I would watch it on Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know, and there was Minnie Pearl and Red Foley. You know, we don't talk about Red Foley a lot, but he's one of the greatest singers. You remember Red River Valley?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love that song. And I loved his. and they recorded a lot of songs together. I didn't know they sang together a lot.
Yeah, they don't make music like that anymore.
No, they don't. They don't make the good stuff. Now they make stuff that you don't even know what they're saying. I don't even know what they're saying or what it means. And the only song that I wanted was I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, it's one of the classics.
Yes, a good classic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, we better give out the phone number.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's 877-588-3330, and that's 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And the website, as always, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and this is your opportunity to learn more about how to retire comfortably, safely, and happily by investing in life insurance policies, which is a much better way to go than the stock market, much safer, less risk, and you're not up all night. So where do these policies come from that you have for people to invest in?
Well, they always come from licensed producers. You have to buy them from a licensed company. And if they're not licensed, they don't do business with us, obviously. So they will send us, in a day's time, I may get 6 or 7 policies to look at. And I go over the life expectancies, I go over everything, and I either say, let's bid it or let's turn it down. Mm-hmm. And then I decide if I'm going to bid it, what I want to bid it at. You know, what can we afford to pay for it? What can we afford to get it for our clients?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we're different than a lot of companies. A lot of companies are not paying their people what we do. You know, they don't really care. You know, if they can give them 8%, that's good.
Ooh.
You know. And we don't do that to people. You know, we've always tried to give them 1% a month, if at all possible. And we've always managed to do that. But when times are tough and you're really trying to get a policy, you might have to go down, you know, a couple of points.
Yeah.
And it has happened, but not very often. Because we reduce my fee first. And so that means Faye doesn't make much money sometimes. But lots of times, if it's really a hard deal, we're going to get the policy. That's what we're really interested in.
And that's really what it's all about. And now it's probably worth pointing out that these policies come from policyholders that need to go ahead and sell a policy for various reasons.
Yes. Now, a lot of them actually need the cash because of the treatment they're going through. Then the people that have money, like executives, they just need to settle up now. They're not going to wait.
Right.
We have a lot of executives that say, you know, I don't want them fighting over it. You know, the money's available now. If we cash it in, let's just give the kids their money.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and do it. And, you know, when we did that one last year, the gentleman was with Dutch Bank. He was a vice president. So, you know, he had a large policy. It was $20 million. He sold it to us. He went to Europe and stayed that year, came back. He passed away, but the children already had their money.
Yeah.
They didn't have to wait.
And there was no fighting amongst relatives. All that's avoided.
That's right. And, you know, there's always relatives that come in that you've never heard of and say, well, you know, he promised me that.
Uh-huh.
You know, do you have it in writing? No, but he verbally told me I was going to get that money.
Yep.
And, you know, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and so when people try to sell their policy, they have to have somebody to buy it so that they can have their money. And then when people buy it, then somebody has to bid on it. So everybody wins, really, in the end.
Yes, it is. It's a win situation. They get a lump sum. Our clients get a policy that they can invest their money in. And, you know, it works out for everybody. Our clients make a good amount of money. We didn't make them rich. We never promised them that. But they're going to make a good return where they can retire.
Yeah.
And if they keep doing this, they will have enough money to retire.
Yeah.
So you know, I think that's a good thing.
You've got some policies that will be ready to go in the next week or so.
Yes, because we've got them bought. All we're doing now is the paperwork. Everything's finalized. And we've got $6 million. We're bidding on another $14
million. Wow.
So we should have a lot of policies to put people in.
So if somebody wants to get ready, they don't necessarily have to write you a check. They can come in and just get some information, think about it. They can really take whatever approach they want to. How does somebody get started?
Well, they need to make an appointment, come over, talk to us. Let's see if they're qualified. Let's see, you know, if this is what they should be doing. If they're qualified, if it's something they should be doing, we're going to recommend it. If it's not, we're not going to recommend it.
Yeah.
It's just real simple.
You're not out to just take people's money and, you know, get them any way you can. You're here really to give them a good experience, and you're really here for their benefit.
That's right. If I don't think it's for their benefit and I don't think they have enough money to do it, we're not going to do it with them.
And you have turned people down.
We're going to have to do something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people come in and they only have $100,000 to their name, they need to go home.
Yeah.
That's not going to get it. It's not going to work. If you don't have enough money to live on, you say, well, we want to invest this. We've got $100,000. No, you don't want to invest that.
Yeah.
You take it home and live off of it. And maybe get through this life with that $100,000.
The minimum to invest is $100,000, but you have to have other.
You've got to have more assets than that.
Exactly.
You've got to have income. You've got to have emergency money. You've got to have other assets. If you have other assets, yes, we'll talk to you. If you don't, we're not going to talk to you. There's no use talking about it.
All right. So for somebody who wants to get started, the phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Been there a long time.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.